I now recognize the Honorable, the brand new Minister of Finance.
Madam Speaker, President of the Republic of South Africa, Deputy President in absentia, Cabinet colleagues and Deputy Ministers, Governor of the South African Reserve Bank, leaders of all political parties, MECs for finance, representatives of organized business and labor, civil society and faith-based leaders, honorable members, Directors General of the National Treasury and other departments, the Acting Commissioner of SARS, fellow South Africans, it is my singular honor and privilege to table the 22nd medium-term budget policy statement for consideration of the House and of all South Africans. Today, I also table, firstly, the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, secondly, the Adjustment Appropriation Bill, thirdly, the Special Appropriation Bill, fourthly, the Rates and Monetary Amounts and Amendment of Revenue Laws Bill, fifthly, the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, sixth, the Tax Administration Laws Amendment Bill, and finally, the 2018 Adjusted Estimates of Expenditure. Madam Speaker, in A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens says, and I quote, "It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was also the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going the other way." I think that's nice to recapture. We were all going to heaven, and yet we're going the other way, which means to hell. So too is the present time, Mr. President, Madam Speaker. As a country, we stand at a crossroads. We can choose the path of hope or a path of despair. We can go directly to heaven, or as Dickens so politely puts it, we can go the other way. For ordinary South Africans, it has become a difficult time. Administered prices such as electricity and fuel have risen. Unemployment is unacceptably high. Poor services and corruption have hit the poor the hardest. Fortunately, under the leadership of our brand new president, and much like the central character in A Tale of Two Cities, we have, as a country, chosen the difficult path of redemption. The medium-term budget policy statement is a central part of our planning as a country. It is designed to outline how we spend scarce resources for the benefit of all South Africans. This policy statement provides us with an opportunity to take stock of the strides we have taken in the year. We do this in a data-driven way, providing credible evidence to judge our collective performance as a society. However, it is more than just a set of numbers or reams of data, charts and graphs or words. Our performance should be measured by whether people are gainfully employed, whether our children are learning in decent schools, and whether we have health care facilities that are up to standard. The statement is an opportunity to restore trust between government and the people. South Africans correctly expect more from their government. They are right to expect that their money is spent wisely and productively and goes to meeting their basic needs. The 2018 policy statement is built on a strong conviction that South Africa can be renewed indeed. It reinforces our commitment to the National Development Plan. It articulates the President's vision of Tumamina. Together as a country, we can indeed rebuild and recast our future. We are at a crossroads. The statement highlights the difficult economic and fiscal choices confronting us over the medium term. We must choose a path that takes us to faster and more inclusive economic growth and strengthens the private and public sector investment. We must choose a path that stabilizes and reduces the national debt. We cannot continue to borrow at this rate. We must choose to reduce the structural deficit, for we cannot continue to have a wide difference between our revenue and expenditure. We must choose to reduce the structural deficit, especially the consistently high growth in the real public sector wage bill. I think that's why there was a ho-ho in my throat. New fiscal anchors may be required to ensure sustainability, in addition to the expenditure ceiling. We must choose public sector investment over consumption. Reconfiguring our state-owned companies requires us to take a hard look at how they operate. Let me repeat this. Reconfiguring our state-owned companies requires us to take a hard look at how they operate. Our current challenges with state-owned companies present us with an opportunity to demolish the walls that exist between the private and public sectors. To demolish the walls that exist between the private and public sectors. Along with other key economic institutions, we will urgently fix the South African Revenue Service. It is a matter of public record that the capacity of SARS has been weakened. It is in this context that the SARS leadership must and has to be strengthened. We cannot expect to continue functioning effectively if the tax collection authority is broken. The organization SARS has many talented and committed employees who want the organization to succeed and who are working tirelessly to rebuild trust. Madam Speaker, I present this policy statement against the backdrop of a technical recession in South Africa. The economic expectations at the time of the budget in February 2018 have not materialized. Since then, the risks to the global economic growth outlook have become more pronounced. Rising interest rates in the United States of America and a stronger dollar reflect a strong U.S. economy. Minister of International Relations is here, so I mustn't say what I wanted to say there. But I wanted to say some, despite the occasional trade barriers that are being introduced by some president. In the medium term, strong U.S. growth will support export growth. But monetary policy normalization has created turmoil in financial markets. Countries with large twin deficits and high levels of external debt, such as Turkey and Argentina, have experienced sharp currency depreciation, rising credit spreads, and large capital outflows. In some cases, inappropriate policy responses have made the situation worse. Developing countries are now expected to grow by some 4.7% in 2018 and 2019. For 2018, South Africa's growth forecast has been revised down from 1.5 percentage points to 0.7%. Growth is expected to recover gradually over 2% in 2021 as confidence returns and investment gathers pace. That said, any forecast is based on a set of current assumptions. In the documentation table today, we outline different scenarios, including macroeconomic and fiscal risks. The National Development Plan outlines our long-term vision. A core element of this vision is a commitment to strong, sustained, and inclusive growth rates to sharply reduce unemployment, poverty, and inequality. During the first decade of our democracy, economic growth was closely linked with that of the rest of the world. Over the past decade, however, our growth has been significantly slower than our peers. With the right initiatives, we can once again recouple our growth performance with that of the global economy. Our growth agenda must raise potential output, increase potential output from where it is, by boosting productivity, increasing competition, and reducing the cost of doing business. As a start, the President has announced 5 measures to stimulate the economy. Number 1, implementation of growth-enhancing economic reforms. 2, reprioritization of public spending to support growth and job creation. 3, enhancing infrastructure investment and establishing an infrastructure fund. 4, addressing urgent pressing matters in education and health. 5, investing in municipal infrastructure improvement, which is very key. Allow me to take some time to expand on the various elements of the President's plan, provided my colleagues on the left will remember that this is my maiden speech. Yeah. The first element of the President's plan is to implement growth-enhancing economic reforms. Rebuilding confidence will unlock private sector investment. Investors are in it for the long run. They want to know that our policies are clear and consistent. We must stop, Mr. President, talking in contradictory terms. The President has already taken the lead in rebuilding confidence by appointing a team of investment envoys. We look forward to the upcoming investment conference. Already in the mining sector, We have finalized the mining charter, and we are withdrawing the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Amendment Bill. Where is the Minister of... Oh, thank you, Minister. Thank you. Thank you for that. Visa requirements will be eased to boost tourism. We will make it easier for people with skills to work in South Africa. 10-year multiple entry visas will be extended to several countries. In communications, thank you for that. In communications, the proposed policy for the licensing of high demand spectrum has been gazetted. Frequencies to enable high speed internet will be auctioned early next year. Steps will be taken to reduce data costs and improve data quality. Recently concluded power purchase agreements will create an estimated 61,000 jobs and enable investment of 56 billion rand. Through the renewable energy IPPs, we have secured equity for local communities who will receive about 29.3 billion rand in net dividend income over the life of the project. For recently signed projects, 53% is owned by South African shareholders, while black shareholders own 34% of the equity. Restructuring of the electricity sector is underway. This must include a long-term plan to restructure Eskom and deal with its debt obligations. A review of current electricity pricing policy will form a part of this process. We are building partnerships to find solutions to the development challenges faced by South Africa and the region. Here, we would like to emphasize the need for partnerships. The recent Job Summit brought together business, labor, community, government, and other leaders in our society to leverage our collective strength towards the urgent need to protect and create jobs. South Africa offers a strong investment value proposition. We have a highly diversified, open economy with an abundance of natural resources, an extensive and modern infrastructure network, and sophisticated and deep financial markets. The upcoming investor conference will showcase this strength to local and international investors. We are upgrading the economic planning and coordinating capacity of the state. Southern Africa towards inclusive economic development is a program with other government departments and international agencies to produce high-quality, evidence-based policy research. We've already published 24 research papers in 2018. The program will train young scholars and give government officials the opportunity to obtain their PhDs in economics and related fields. Our ultimate aim is to improve the interface between cutting-edge research and policy formulation to avoid situations where sometimes policy is made on the hoof. The second element of the President's plan is about reprioritization and more effective spending. Spending is projected to be 5.9 trillion rand over the medium term. Spending will still grow faster than inflation. This is a lot of money. We can do more with it. We can do better with it. We are proposing a combination of reprioritization, changes to grant structures, and in-year allocations amounting to more than 50 billion rand. Of this amount, reprioritization of 15.9 billion goes towards infrastructure programs, supporting industrialization and the expanded public works program. An additional 16.5 billion rand of reprioritization will be allocated to various programs, including funding to restore capacity at the South African Revenue Service. Agriculture will be an important driver of our economic recovery. The land bank will continue to support emerging farmers. Our reprioritization efforts will support the bank to include transactions worth 16.2 billion rand over the next 3 to 5 years, which will help create jobs in agriculture. A significant portion of the funding will go towards export-oriented crops that are highly labor-intensive. And I said to the staff, for example, and they said avocados. Housing subsidies amounting to 1 billion rand will be centralized to help low to medium income households access affordable housing loans, which will result in most South Africans acquiring their own homes. We are determined to support greater economic development within townships and the countryside. Minister Zulu, our spending on infrastructure aims to promote industrialization across the country. We are spending 668 million rand over the medium term to revitalize government-owned industrial parks in township areas. So far, government has upgraded infrastructure at Vulindlela and Komani, both in the Eastern Cape, Botshabelo in the Free State, Sishiho in Limpopo, and Isithebe in KwaZulu-Natal. In economic literature, this is what is referred to as inward industrialization, just for reference. Since 2011, municipalities have completed over 270 projects to the value of 3.7 billion rand funded through the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant. This has attracted over 8.7 billion rand of private investment in townships. In Tembisa, for example, which is in Ekurhuleni, public investment to the value of 125 million rand in roads and transport infrastructure has enabled access to social and economic facilities. It is. The investment will attract, okay. The investment will attract an estimated 3.5 billion rand of additional public and private investment in commercial, retail, and residential developments. In Msunduzi municipality, over 77 million rand in public investment in the Edenvale urban hub has already attracted private and public sector investment in excess of 1 billion rand. We will continue to roll this out in other parts of the country. Now, the Giani Water Project is plagued by malfeasance. It is a cesspool of corruption. The challenges range from a complete disregard for supply chain rules to poor contract management, resulting in irregular expenditure. It is clear that a new delivery and financing model is required to provide water services to our communities. A key element of the new approach will be a stronger focus on project management and contract governance to ensure that projects such as the Giani Water Project are fit for purpose and maximize value for money in the water sector. I have I have requested the Director General of the National Treasury to work with the Department of Water and Sanitation to ensure that appropriate action is taken against all guilty officials implicated in the Auditor General's report. The President has informed me that he will be visiting the Giani area to see for himself what has happened and what needs to be done. We are dealing decisively and urgently with the water crisis in the Vaal River system. Our immediate focus is to mobilize short-term financing by reprioritizing funds and increasing capacity. I have asked the Commander-in-Chief of the South African National Defence Force, the President, and the Minister of Defence for the military to assist us immediately with engineering works and other expertise to resolve the crisis in the Vaal River system. I'm happy to report that both the President and the Minister have agreed. And I've already spoken to the officer commanding the reserve forces who has taken the matter to the Central Command, the High Command. They've agreed. So you see soldiers there. Quickly. There's no point continuing to complain about an issue that we can resolve immediately. So that's what we're doing. The generals in charge have already started working on the solutions. Water is critical. Current water delivery models are clearly not working in many areas of our country. And we need to consider new ideas and models. Given the land transport intensity of our economy, it is vital that our road network supports growth and development. Over the medium term, funds are reprioritized to enable the strengthening and rehabilitation of national non-toll road networks, of which about 75% are beyond their design life. Now. But if we want our road transport infrastructure to work, we need to pay for our tolls. Government remains committed. So, honourable members, if we want the road network to work, we must therefore pay our tolls. Government remains committed. Government remains committed to the user pay principle because it is the most efficient and effective way to ensure that the direct benefits of services are paid for by those who use them directly. We need to restore a culture of payment in this country to ensure the sustainability of our services.
Order, honourable members.
And to give confidence to those institutions who invest in our bonds. The third element of the President's plan is to improve the government's approach to infrastructure investment and to establish an infrastructure fund. Over the next 3 years, public infrastructure expenditure is estimated to be 855.2 billion rand, of which state-owned companies alone account for 370.2 billion rand. General government accounts for the remaining 485 billion rand, mainly in the form of conditional grants. One of our problems is that too many projects are poorly prepared. Too often, government spends money on infrastructure when it could be better and more effectively done by the private sector. The Development Bank of Southern Africa, the Government Technical Advisory Center, and the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission will receive 625 million rand to strengthen project preparation. Development, Minister Patel is supposed to clap a bit. Development finance institutions, multilateral development banks and private banks have committed technical resources to help finance, plan and implement projects. We will develop innovative finance solutions that combine capital from private and public sectors. Government will establish an execution unit made up of engineers, quantity surveyors, architects and other professionals to ensure that challenges that we face in various schemes are resolved speedily. The execution unit will also advise government on new delivery and financing models to provide basic services to communities. More often than not, it's a very simple thing, actually. But sometimes we take longer to deal with simple things. Government will also develop a framework to help investors assess potential long-term returns on public infrastructure projects. We want to enable investment in public infrastructure by commercial banks, development finance institutions, and pension funds. This will require both innovative financing mechanisms and accompanying regulatory reforms. We have successfully partnered, for example, with the private sector in the past. The N3 highway between Johannesburg and Durban and the N1, N4 Platinum Highway were built and are operated and maintained by the private sector. For these projects to operate efficiently, we have service level agreements which make them accountable to the government. These kinds of partnerships should be accelerated in the future. The fourth element of the President's plan is to address urgent and pressing matters in education and health. The largest allocations in the medium term are for education, health, social development, and community development. Together, these four areas will receive more than 60% of the non-interest expenditure. Nobody should learn in a school that is unsafe, Madam Minister of Basic Education. Our children must have access to adequate sanitation. We have committed to eradicating pit latrines at all schools. The President has directed that there is a plan to ensure that all schools have safe and appropriate sanitation. We will ensure that female learners in schools have access to sanitary pads. Several provinces have already taken the lead in rolling out the provision of these free sanitary pads in schools. Funds will be added to the provincial equitable share to enable provinces to progressively further this initiative. Access to healthcare services is enshrined in our constitution and in our Bill of Rights. We'll continue to work very closely with the Department of National Department of Health and other role players to ensure that the gradual phase implementation of the National Health Insurance System is adequately financed. We're immediately reprioritizing 350 million rand to recruit in excess of 2,000 health professionals into public health facilities. We are further reprioritizing 150 million rand to purchase beds and linen for hospitals where the need is most dire. These two interventions build on the Presidential Health Summit convened last weekend, which has brought new focus to improving the quality of our health system. The final element of the President's plan to stimulate the economy focuses on investing in municipal social infrastructure. All South Africans share the pain of poorly performing municipalities. Potholes here and there, broken street lights, roads that flood when it rains, and challenges with electricity. We are acutely aware that some municipalities are facing serious capacity constraints in executing their plans and programs. The Auditor General has consistently shared audit messages that emphasize the importance of accountability in the management of municipal affairs. This year, 113 municipalities adopted unfunded budgets, up from 83 in the previous year. Municipalities owe more than 23 billion rand to service providers, mainly to Eskom and water service agencies. In many cases, like in Mudimule Mokopo municipality, the financial challenges faced by municipalities are a reflection of weakness in government or even fraud and outright corruption. The funds lost by municipalities in the collapse of VBS Mutual Bank offer a dramatic illustration of how greed and corruption impacts negatively on the achievement of our development objectives. On VBS, although you debated this matter extensively yesterday, it is important to raise a few issues. Firstly, that the poor depositors in VBS have not lost any money. The poor depositors at VBS have not lost any money. The poor depositors have been paid through the arrangement made by the governor, or rather by the regulator and another bank. Secondly, the biggest losers, of course, have been the shareholders and the municipalities that deposited into VBS. Thirdly, it is important that as we deal with the VBS matter, we do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. The model of VBS before the great heist was correct, i.e. reach out to the poorer communities, provide banking and financial services to them as part of the struggle to transform the banking and financial services sector. To that extent, we will work together with the regulator to ensure that that model doesn't disappear from the South African sector. However, the perpetrators of the great bank heist must be locked up after a fair trial. As I said, this matter was ventilated in the House yesterday, and therefore there's no need to repeat it. So, yes, those who benefited illegally. Now, just as you recover your breath, the advocate Mutau, who did the investigation, says that there was this heist in Krugersdorp where criminals, yes, they did a lot of hard work. They dug a tunnel to the bank. Hard work. And they eventually reached the bank. And they got out with 400,000 rand. And disappeared, were never arrested. Huge amount of effort for nothing. Well, so you might think. actually the criminals were not after the 400,000 rand. They knew that in that bank was kept safety boxes, and that illegal rich people had kept their valuables in those safety boxes. Diamonds, jewelry, that's what they wanted. And they knew that the depositors would not do anything about it because they had not declared those goods. So Madam Speaker, we have many such cases of theft and poor projects in our country. And these corrupt practices have indeed to be removed from our system. For those of you who have some knowledge of the Bible, you will recall the words of Isaiah in chapter 58, verse 12, and I quote, "Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings." Unquote. Amen. 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 We must repair our towns and our streets and fix the water pipes under our roads. The National Treasury will work closely with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs to deal with financial misconduct in all spheres of government. We are developing measures to improve transparency and governance processes. Key is the employment of qualified, competent, and incorruptible officials. We need to restore a culture of compliance with the Public Finance Management Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act in all organs of the state. Civil society can help too. In some cases, such as in Emalahleni, citizen associations have successfully challenged local government to implement the measures prescribed by law to address financial problems. The President's plan is achievable. It's achievable. But any growth plan must be built on sound macroeconomic preconditions. A sustainable fiscal position and low and stable inflation. I am confident that Governor Kanyako and his team will continue to work tirelessly to keep inflation down. And please, honorable members, let us not distract him with some regular attacks on the mandate and independence of the South African Reserve Bank. Today, I take advantage of my maiden speech to reiterate what is contained in Section 224 of the Constitution of the Republic. It says, "The South African Reserve Bank, in pursuit of its primary objective, must perform its functions independently and without fear, favor, or prejudice. But there must be regular consultation between the bank and the cabinet member responsible for national financial matters." In this instance, those two is Governor number 10 and Governor number 8. So in this situation, my job is to strengthen the fiscus, and his job is to keep inflation low and stable. Gavin remains committed to his goal of stabilizing and bringing down the debt-to-GDP ratio. In recent months, deteriorating economic performance, revenue shortfalls, and a weaker rand have all contributed to higher debt projections. The consolidated budget deficit is estimated at 4% in 2018-2019, compared with the 2018 budget projection of 3.6% of GDP. After rising to 4.2%, the deficit stabilized at 4% in the outer years. Gross debt is on pace to stabilize at 59.6% in 2023-2024. Other risks identified in the February budget have materialized, including a public service wage agreement significantly above inflation, and the continued decline in the financial condition of some state-owned enterprises, leading to requests for budget support. In recent budgets, we took important steps by reducing the expenditure ceiling and increasing taxes. Given the weaknesses of the economy, the government is aiming to manage these pressures while avoiding additional fiscal measures that could limit growth. The 2018 public service wage agreement exceeds budgeted baselines by about 30.2 billion rand. We have not allocated additional money for this. Can I just repeat this? The 2018 public service wage agreement exceeds budgeted baselines by about 30.2 billion rand over the medium term. We have not allocated additional money for this. National and provincial departments will be expected to absorb these costs within their compensation baselines. The Department of Public Service and Administration will work with national and provincial departments to help them manage the implementation of this agreement while protecting our key development priorities. The wage bill remains the biggest cost pressure on the budget. Over time, wages have crowded out other goods and services and capital investment, particularly in health, education, and defense. And we have to be more responsive to the requests from the generals about the defense budget. I'm a retired honorary colonel, so I know what's happening there. In some cases, this has contributed to a build-up of unpaid invoices in provincial governments. Around 85% of the increase in the wage bill is due to higher wages rather than headcount increases. The national wage ceilings remain unchanged despite the new wage agreement. Revenue collections up to the end of September 2018 have grown by 10.7% compared to the same period last year. Latest estimates, however, suggest that the full year collections will be 27.4 billion rand less than expected, of which 20 billion rand reflects increased VAT refunds, and 7.4 billion reflect lower corporate tax and personal income tax. Although some of the VAT refunds reflect once-off payments, we expect revenue shortfalls of 24.7 billion in 2019-2020 financial year and 33 billion in 2020-21 financial year relative to the 2018 budget. Madam Speaker, concerns have been expressed about the slow pace of VAT refunds. We recognize this that it has hurt the cash flow of a number of companies, including small and medium enterprises. The acting SARS commissioner has committed to processing the outstanding VAT refunds as quickly as possible. We estimate total additional refunds of 20 billion rand, made up of 11 billion rand to clear the backlog and an upward revision of 9 billion rand for the current fiscal year. We are of the view that this will provide a much needed stimulus, actually, to the real economy as people will have more money in their hands. So it's not negative, it's actually positive. As you know, an independent panel of experts investigated options to mitigate the impact of the VAT increase on lower income households. My thanks to the panel for their excellent work. I would also like to thank the 30,000 individuals and NGOs who provided commentary on the panel's recommendation. Madam Speaker, I received 3,299 tweets in total recently when I requested people on Twitter to give me some advice. I'm awaiting the one from the President. He promised me one on Monday. One of them is Tintingwenya in Johannesburg, who said, sanitary pads should be tax-free. After considerable debate and consultation, as of the 1st of April 2019, government will zero rate the following items. Number one, sanitary pads. Floyd, I thought you'd clap. Okay. I want to see you clapping. Thank you. Two, bread flour. Three, cake flour. Now, I know you are clapping, that's very good. But here is the thing. So the revenue loss associated with zero rating these items is estimated at 1.2 billion rand. So, However, zero rating these products targets low-income households and restores the dignity of our people. So that we're clear about this thing. So the zero rating of the pairs, but also free provision to poorer schools. Right? On carbon tax, we've listened carefully to the concerns of business and labor during the parliamentary hearings. The carbon budgeting system and the carbon tax will be aligned. This is done by imposing a higher tax rate as a penalty for emissions exceeding the carbon budget. The original date of implementation was 1 January 2019, but this will be postponed to 1 June 2019. We can spend our money better, Madam Speaker. Too much money goes missing. We must restore good governance and fight corruption in all of its forms. Money that leaks out of the system is no longer available to support our efforts to reduce poverty and lighten the burden on the poor. Madam Speaker, among the many tweets we received from the South African public was a plea to strengthen internal auditing capacity at our municipalities. It is necessary for us as a country to face up to the events of the recent past and learn from them. We are taking the following steps to strengthen financial management. First, Treasury will work with the Office of the Auditor General to reduce fruitless and wasteful, irregular and unauthorized expenditure. Law enforcement agencies will be requested to act swiftly without fear or favor against those implicated in wrongdoing. Two, at local government level, we are deploying skilled professionals to boost revenue collection and attain our developmental objectives. Many of these professionals are retirees who have responded to the call by the President, Tuma Mina. Three, there will be financial recovery plans for non-performing departments. This, in short, means if you don't spend, we'll take the money. Madam Speaker, our state-owned companies can spend our money better as well. Many of these state-owned companies need to be reconfigured. Let me just repeat that. Many of these state-owned companies need to be reconfigured. Emphasis is reconfigured. In the past year, almost all of the regional and domestic routes operated by South African Airways were profitable. SAA will reduce, ultimately, maybe stop operating some of the loss-making international routes. SAA procurement has unlocked annual cost savings of about 400 million rand. And this is a picture they're going to bring out of me sweating. You see, the minister sweats over the budget. Oh, you cheated already. It's fine, it's okay. Despite these efforts, cheers. Despite these efforts, SAA is still loss-making, and even more radical measures are then needed in this regard. In the reconfiguration of state-owned enterprises, there must be no holy cows. To support a sustainable reconfiguration model of our airline portfolio, in 2018-2019, government will provide additional funding to SAA and South African Express Airways. Minister Gordon and I are working closely to limit the fiscal cost of these measures. By the end of the year, the boards of these two companies will present plans to strengthen and align their operations. Government has been working with the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Government has been working with the Johannesburg Stock Exchange to strengthen debt listing requirements for all issuers, including state-owned companies. These proposals aim to bring about increased transparency and improved governance for state-owned companies and complement other government measures. Madam Speaker, as I conclude, allow me to thank the President for his guidance and leadership. My appreciation also goes to the Deputy President. I'd like to thank the Minister of Defence. For the first time, the Minister of Defence is thanked in a statement for the assistance that we are receiving from the Defence Force. I'd like to thank my Cabinet colleagues who have been more than patient with me as I've been working my way through this process, in particular the Minister's Committee on the Budget. Thank you very much for your help. I wish to thank the provincial premiers, MECs, municipal mayors who share our fiscal and financial responsibility. I'd like to thank Deputy Minister Ngungubele. It's a very interesting Deputy Minister to work with. It's very interesting. I'd like to thank the Acting Commissioner of the South African Revenue Services, thanking the 10th Governor of the South African Reserve Bank and the staff at the Reserve Bank, the Director General of the National Treasury, also a very interesting fellow. I know that members of the House will join me in expressing our appreciation to the whole staff of the National Treasury, the Revenue Services, and the finance community. I'm also grateful to the Finance and Appropriation Committees, who have responsibility for steering consideration of the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, the Adjustments Appropriation Bill, the Finance Bill, and the Taxation Bills. So, Madam Speaker, a budget statement, as I said, is not the budget. The budget is in February. This is a medium-term statement. And we are presenting this statement then against the bedrock of South Africa finding itself at the crossroads with lower growth and therefore lower revenue collections. That's why we need tough choices. Secondly, our economic outlook has been revised downwards. Thirdly, against this background, together we have much to do. We must repair damaged government institutions as their failure impacts on poorer households the most. There have been governance challenges at key state institutions. This we have to deal with. State institutions are being repaired and renewed. That's a background. State-owned enterprises are being reconfigured, as we have said. The President has initiated a plan that will support our economic recovery plan. And finally, we wish all of you success as we debate this medium-term budget statement. Ikhesengo Shinene.